Hi, thank you so much for listening to Oust. I wanted to provide a quick message before the start of this episode. This episode was recorded prior to the current pandemic that we are all experiencing, but we wanted to make sure that we are bringing you relevant content and things to take your mind off of our current situation. So please know that we are very aware and are here for you during this time, and we hope that you will enjoy some of our newer episodes that we're recording, which are on trend with what's currently happening. We thought it important to release this episode because it's various reasons, but in addition, we also do at some point want to provide an update. And it's going to be a good update with good news. And everyone needs a little good news at this point. So as always, we appreciate you, our listeners, and thank you for listening.
Welcome to Oust Now Podcast, where you get an open and honest conversation about life. Here are your hosts, Tanya and Janine.
Okay, welcome back to Oust. It is first week of January. We are just trying to get back into a routine from the holidays.
Right. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year. What a curveball this holiday has been, no?
Right, it has.
It's just everything is out of sync, and now that it's New Year, we are hoping to kind of get back on a regular schedule where we are continuing to bring you at least a weekly episode or at least a weekly short, so that way you're hearing from us regularly. Thank you for your patience while we have enjoyed the holidays. but we're excited to be back with you and excited for you guys to start listening again. So we wanted to start off with the new year with an episode about co-parenting.
Right.
As you know, we've both shared before, like Janine is co-parenting from two separate households. And I co-parent, but I co-parent from the same household. So we have two different experiences that we can share, that will hopefully bring you guys some insight, maybe some great tips, or maybe just a good listen. So in preparing for this episode, I really wanted it to be a little bit more focused on co-parenting from two separate households, because that's just becoming more and more common for various reasons. So we thought it important to focus on that, because parenting from the same household is a totally different experience.
Right. And I think that your situation is more ideal, but it's still co-parenting. A lot of people feel like co-parenting means exactly like you said, like separate households. And that's not the case. Co-parenting is co-parenting. Like, you, any child, I hope, under the same household or a separate household, it's still, some people are you can be a good mother or you can be a good father, but still be a bad parent because you're not co-parenting in a positive way. You know what I mean?
Correct. Yes, I agree. But I would say I think that the biggest thing when it comes to co-parenting, whether if you are in the same household, whether if you're in two separate households, is staying on the same page and showing a united front. Because if you don't, I feel like kids will take advantage of that, because, they're smart, they're kids, it's what they do.
But if you're not on the same page, and if you're not showing that united front, it just creates
chaos.
It creates chaos.
It makes it. I'm sorry. Go ahead, baby.
No, go ahead. Go ahead.
It makes it hard for the parent that is actually primary parent. Okay. If you're dealing with a two separate household situation, and even under the same roof, like you said, kids will pick up on where they can, I don't necessarily want to say manipulate, but kids are smart.
Oh, no.
They know, and they'll play on that. But like, okay, well, I'm going to go ask dad, or I'm going to go ask mom and see. That's never good. And especially when they pick up on, like you said, a lack of unity in the situation, or a lack of being on the same page. And then you do have some, and I just have to throw it out there because I've experienced this. You have some that will use that as an opportunity to make things harder for whatever reason. It could be, a hurt or anger, or they're still upset about the situation, or, you know, who knows? It's a number of reasons, but like, I've experienced that where like, I'm like, hey, no, you can't do this, or hey, no, I'm going to take this. And then my ex will come in and give it back. Like, I'll take a cell phone from him, and then he'll tell them, oh, well, she can't take the cell phone because she didn't buy it. What? I can't take the cell phone because I didn't buy it? Or how about I'll take a cell phone. Like, I remember one weekend I took the cell phone and I gave the cell phone to my ex. And I was like, I don't want this cell phone. And still, guess what happened? He sent the cell phone back with him. And I'm like, how do I win if you're doing stuff like that? Like, how do we win? Because really, at the end of the day, it's not about you or I. It's about what's better for this child. And so how can we do what's better for him if you're undermining my decision-making and what I'm trying to, my disciplinary, you know what I'm trying to say? So like, if I can't take a cell phone, or if I can't take a game because you brought it, then you take it.
Right.
And if you're not going to take it, then how are you helping the situation?
Right, because you've already made a decision.
You know what I mean?
So this is the decision I made.
Right.
Just support it, regardless if you agree.
So even though I don't get the same respect in return, I correct them when they say something about my ex, or I correct them when they be like, oh, da 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 da. I correct them, even though I know I don't get that same respect back.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
You know, I still am I try to be the bigger person. And because of what happened with my other son, which, you know, because of what happened with him, it changed me in a way that I try very diligently not to confront what I'm feeling when I'm in that moment. And what I mean by that is, like, I try, no matter how I feel about the other party, I always tell, hey, you know what? You have a great dad. Who has a great dad? You have a great dad. And that's because I learned that, what the fuck I think about him don't matter.
So I read,
and
I will.
So that's what I do. That's what I do. I lie. To me, I mean, well, not lie to me. How can I say? I don't want to say that I'm a lie, because to her, that's her. You know, that's who he is. he's this great thing.
It goes against your experience of him not.
And it goes right. And it does. That's not the experience that I have of him. But as long as that's what you feel, I'm cool with it. And I can accept that if that's going to make you the better person. If that's going to make my child the better person, to think that, you know, her father is this awesome and great being, then that's what I need. Because I need her to grow up and be that awesome and great being. So I do whatever that means that I have to do. So I suck it up and I keep what I feel to myself, because my feelings don't matter at this point.
And I think
their feelings matter.
I read that in one of the articles that I read in trying to prepare for that, that that was one of the things that they recommend is, you know, your experience of him is, or her, because, well, let's not be one-sided here. But
that's correct.
Your experience of him or on the other side, whether if it's he or if it's a her, is making sure that you are positive in front of the kids and incur, you know, not
right
saying negative things about your co-parent to your kids, because right. that does a lot right. of damage when it comes to their well-being and how right. they're growing. So I, you know, that's for anyone who's listening, you know, I read three different articles and I'll kind of reference them as we go maybe a little bit later in this episode. But that was one of the things that it did speak to, so making sure that you're speaking positive, you know, about your co-parent.
About the other
yeah.
part.
Yeah.
Right. You have to. And I learned that. And I, unfortunately, I learned that in a most tragic way, because, you know, the situation, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And it was mutual. And now it's not mutual. Now it's just kind of from the other party's end, but like it was mutual. We both talk bad about each other. Like I'm not gonna make it seem like it was, you know, all him or all me or any of that, but talk bad about each other. And even though I made true statements and his stuff was false, because, you know, I've shared with you the bull. But even though everything that I said about the other party was actually factual, no, this is facts. I'm not talking rumor. I'm not talking opinion. I'm just talking facts. It was wrong for me to state those facts, because even though they were true, and so that was my justification, is that I didn't lie on you. You lied on me, but I didn't lie on you. That was my justification. It was still wrong. It was wrong because that's not how it should have been handled, ever. And so I learned from that, and I learned in a hard way, and I try to suck it up now, even though some of the damage has already, you know, been done. And so, and it's hard. It's hard being a bigger person, because you want to be able to say what it is that you feel, especially when you know the other person is going in. It's hard. It's not easy, because you want to say, you know what, you're da 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 da, you know, but you can't. You have to be like, you know, you have to be like, oh yep, yep. Who has the best parent in the world? Yep, that's you. Yes, yes, you. That awesome, great, you know. But that's the reality of it. So, I really do, when we finish recording, I really do have to share something with you that even though I'm no longer in any type of invested relationship with my ex, even now, I never want see anything really bad happen to that individual, because I would never really want my kids to ever be that hurt. And I'm going to tell you about that when we finish this one, because I'm so happy.
So
I We could start recording just so I can tell you, girl, let me tell you. But I can't.
So I want to kind of run through this very, very quickly because I read three different articles. Co-parenting is definitely. Whew, it is. Now, I will say this, you know, even with our youngest son, you know, my husband and I, we co-parent internally, but, you know, we also have two girls that there is a level of co-parenting between two different households, even two different states. And what I know from, you know, my husband is he tries to be as supportive as possible. And I'll kind of give you an example of this. When our oldest was, let's say, you know, not listening or doing something that she shouldn't have been doing, the favorite thing to do is to take away the things that, of course, she loves the most. And one of them was a cell phone. And, you know, in the beginning stages, she was the oldest, so she was the only one to have a cell phone. But that was my husband's only way to kind of speak quickly and speak whenever he wanted. He could just call her cell phone. So when that was used as a method of punishment, it became, that was a little challenging for him because he was like, I just want to, you're taking away the one thing that allows me to speak to my kids whenever I want, as often as I want. So that was challenging, but at the same time, he did have a level of understanding. And as did I, you know, that's like taking away my son's tablet. He loves that damn thing. But if he's not listening, guess what? I'm going to take it away.
Right. And that's what, I'm going to be honest. I'm so sorry to cut you off, but that's what the other party was trying to say. The other party was like, oh, well, then how am I supposed to get my hour a day, or how am I supposed to get my FaceTime, and da-da-da-da, trying to make it seem like I was intentionally trying to disobey our agreement. And that's not what it was. And like I told him, I said, well, you can still, because, you know, our other child still has a cell phone. So why do you keep allowing him to be disrespectful and give him this cell phone back?
And I will say, you're right.
Why do I keep taking this blame from him and you keep giving it back? Or how about this? And this is one thing that I honestly will say about my oldest son's father. If he was on punishment at my house, when he got to his father's house, he was still on punishment. I love that about him. And me and him do not get along. We do not see eye to eye. Now that in so, like, if he was on punishment at my house, when he got to dad's house, he was still on punishment. Even if, no matter what the punishment was for, and that I respect it. And I wish I had that same respect when it comes to the co-parenting and the other situations, because it would make life easier, because it causes me to always have to be the bad person. It causes me to always have to be the police in the situation.
And nobody likes bad mama.
Right.
No one likes mean mommy.
Right. Like, why do I have to always be the bad guy? Mm-hmm. Like, cool. The job and the motive here is not to be their friend. Like, we can mm-hmm. be friends later. Like, now that, you know, my oldest is, not my oldest, but now that my oldest daughter is, like, she's graduating early, she knows what she's going to do. You know what I'm saying? She's not trying to have any kids right now. And I'm looking at her in, like, amazement. You know, now we can be friends. Not yet, when she graduates. Now we can be friends. You know what I mean?
Well, can I? So I wonder if, now I could be wrong here, and I'm not going to go down a rabbit hole with this one, but I feel like when you're co-parenting and you are made out to look like the bad guy because for lack of consistency or for whatever reason, you get to be bad mommy. I feel, and again, I'm not an expert, but I feel like the other co-parent is taking the approach, well, probably unconsciously, of parenting from guilt. So that way they always look like the good guy and they're always making someone else look out like the bad guy. But when you're parenting from guilt, that does so much more damage, because that means that you're giving your kid absolutely everything they want because you're feeling guilty about their experience, which does more harm than it does good. Now, do you feel the same way?
It does. And can I tell you something? Sometimes you co-parent from guilt for different reasons. Like, I cannot front. I parented from guilt for a very long time. And what I mean by that is, like, I always had to overcompensate because I felt like my kids don't have grandparents like that. My kids, you know, because we didn't kind of grow up together, because the dynamics of our family was what it was, I felt like, you know what, they don't have aunties and uncles and all these people to step in. They only got me. And I felt like I did them an injustice, especially in choosing who my mate was. I felt like if my parents wasn't shit, excuse me, and they wasn't really in the picture, and then I go start having kids by this other person and they fucking dysfunctional as fuck too, what am I giving them? And so for a long time, I did that. For a long time. And I did that because I was like, they don't have nobody. They don't have nobody but me.
Mm-hmm. But you don't parent from guilt and then make someone else look out to be the bad guy.
No. Right. I don't put anybody else out to be a bad person. I just co-parent, and I parented from a place of guilt, like, dang, I wish my kids had the family dynamics that I see other people have. Like, I wish they had that dope-ass grandmother that I happen to be blessed with. I wish they had, you know what I'm saying? And so that's how come, you know, as we get closer, and start to you know, learn more about each other. And I appreciate that, not just for me, but I appreciate that my kids now have that. So I love you. I just want you to know that I appreciate it. I truly do. Like, you know, even my foster parents, like I told my foster mom when we was in church, like we went to church. We was all in church, and she was like, you know, everybody has to tell something to give thanks for. Like, what are you thankful for? Like, what are you thankful for? And I told her straight up, you know, I'm thankful for having you in my life, for you stepping up and being that role model for my kids. Because before her, my kids didn't have a grandmother. It's just me. You know what I'm trying to say? Yeah. And so for her to take on that role, you know, I really feel like that's a blessing. Because now my son be like, oh, we going to grandma. You know, and so it means a lot. Stuff like that means a lot. And like I said, for a long time, because I really didn't have that, I did too much, because I felt like they had, you know, they started off their journey at such a disadvantage. You know?
So were you able to, like, kind of agree on, now we don't actually do this in our house, but like agree on what the rules are going to be, so that way for both households, so that way it's consistent between them?
Yeah, but see, the other party has to be willing to do that. Mm-hmm. They have to be mature enough to do that. And that's where things get really hard with the co-parenting, because you can't have one parent being like, okay, you didn't do your schoolwork, so you're on punishment. And then the other parent is like, oh, well, I talked to them about it, and at my house, they're not on punishment. They're playing a game all day. Then they're not going to want to be home. And that's another thing that I had to deal with too. So,
I mentioned that I'd read something in order to help myself be a little bit more prepared. And now I will kind of run through some things, and then I'm gonna switch it up, because I think that for the most part your experiences there, I just have a hard time believing that a lot of folks can commit to 100%, that is, co-parenting and co-parenting on the same page. Now, I read an article by, let me see, this is an author, this is on Huffington Post, but it was Lorraine C. Laddish, and she's the founder of Viva50.com. So, and I'll run through this very, very, very fast. It was 10 tips on co-parenting successfully. And so, like, one is parent, oh, sorry, practice empathy. Basically, treat him the way you would like to him to treat you. The second one is be open and flexible with schedules. And this is something that one of your co-parents does very, very well. Like you said, if,
Right.
hey, I want to go to my sister's house for the weekend, or I want to keep my kids on the same schedule, can we switch weekends? He does a phenomenal job on that, which
He
is
does. I can't
important
think,
for the
and
kids.
it really is, especially considering that my youngest son's other party is really difficult with
Right.
that, you know.
So number three is picking your battles. Well, we all know how hard that shit is in any
Right.
relationship, whether if it's like your
Right.
sister, your husband, your BFF, however that works out. Four was communicate directly with dad versus having to communicate through the kids. Five is remember your ex is your ex for a reason, but he's also a co he or she is also your co-parent. And you guys divorced for a reason, or you guys decided not to be together for a reason. Don't expect to change, make that person be anything other than what they are. Six is make exchanges short and sweet. No Google Gaga mess, be in, be out, say goodbye to your kids and keep it moving. Seven is respect their time with dad. So, if they're spending time with each other, don't call them every hour. Eight was share photos, grades, accomplishments. Nine was,
Dad or mom. When you said spending time with dad, but it could be mom too. So
Oh,
some moms just have visitation as well. So
right.
just throwing it out there.
Yep, you're right. Nine is encouraging your kids to communicate with their father, and you do a good job of that. And being encouraging with the kids and making sure that you're not making dad to be out to be, bad dad or anything like that.
Or
And then,
moms out to be bad moms.
yes, the article
I'm
is for
sorry. I'm just throwing it out. I'm
referencing a hymn. And the last one was enjoying your time off. I think that sometimes you may have a hard time being able to do that because the kids may not necessarily be on the same schedule, but that is a one of maybe the only perk of having to co-parent is that when your kids are at the other co-parent's houses, you get a moment to breathe, because we know how hard parenting is. And I
Right.
love the article, and I think this is all great in theory. And I realize that maybe there's a road to getting to this point, whether if that's through a family counselor, however that shakes
Right.
out. But what happens when your other co-parent is, I'm trying to choose my words wisely, but what happens when the other co-parent is maybe immature, maybe you're dealing
Or
with
narcissistic.
a narcissistic personality, and
Yep.
maybe they're just good old-fashioned assholes. So how do
Right.
you like it's I truly love that article, but I really think it speaks to parents who were mature enough to
do that,
work through it, but that's not always the case. And that from your experiences, because of the things that you've shared, when you're working or trying to co-parent with someone who's
very difficult.
Very difficult.
Very.
Right.
Very difficult. It's to the point where I'm not even lying to you. I take pictures of my child before I send them. And I take pictures of my child when I get them back. Because it's that stressful. Because if he has a scratch, any type of mark, anything, he's, oh, you wasn't watching him. You're neglectful. You're an awful parent. And I'll have social services at my house for the, it'll be the fourth time. It's so freaking dumb. It's crazy. And I can't do anything about it technically. Technically. You know. I'm sorry. Did I just say that out
loud?
No,
no, no. You did. And I was listening.
You know. But yeah, it's like, you know, it's crazy. It's fucking, excuse me for, you know, cousin, but it's crazy. It's crazy because none of these things did you have an issue with until I said, I don't want to be with you. And so you're out here saying I'm being vindictive, and you're out here saying, you know, I'm mad because we're not together. But the only one that's showing that is you. I'm not going around here calling DSS on you lying. I'm not doing that.
Do you feel that you're like at the point where you've kind of lowered your expectation and you've kind of the experience, right? Like this is who you are. I don't expect nothing better than what you're giving me right now. And are you
absolutely
at the point where you're dealing with it as
absolutely
as he is versus
at first? Yep. As I thought he was, or as I would like him to be. Mm-hmm. Heck no, I don't do any of that anymore. As a matter of fact, the truth be told, even though this whole going to court is so stressful, because now I have to come up with, and the lady told me to be prepared, and I'm not prepared. You know, she was like, hey, be prepared that you're probably going to have to pay for a guardian ad litem.
A what?
A guardian ad litem. Reese, a guardian ad litem. Then I'm going to have to pay a guardian ad litem for Reese.
Like a parent coordinator?
No, I don't know what that is. A guardian ad litem. It's like a person, they come out to your home, they go to the other person's home, they talk to everybody, they go through your whole life, your whole background with a fine tooth comb, how many places have you lived, how many places have you worked, all that kind of stuff. And they decide on what the best interest of the child is, or what they feel they give opinion on what they think the best interest of the child is.
Oh, you know, I think in New York they call it your child's advocate versus
a child advocate.
Okay, got it.
So I have to pay for that. I'm gonna have to come up with that. And they're not cheap. They're expensive. And then, you know, anybody, and this is anybody, I don't know a perfect parent, because there's no perfect parent. There's no perfect person. And so anybody that is put under the microscope when it comes to parenting, when it comes to anything that they're doing, should feel threatened. I feel threatened because I'm not perfect. I'm not a perfect mom. And I can admit that.
Yeah.
Shoot. I have my day. You know what I'm saying? Like, who wants to be put under the microscope for the job that they've been doing for 19 years and never had to deal with anything like this? Have I been good at it? Maybe. But I tell you, I've done my absolute best. I've done my best. And so this is hard, because how come now? Now that I say I don't want this relationship, now I'm going to abuse and neglect and forget. And why? Why?
Well, because he's trying to get your attention. I mean, it has nothing to do with, like, so whatever reports this person is, oh crap, I use his name. Whatever,
it's okay.
Whatever is,
I think it has everything to do with control that person no longer has.
Yes, but also
that person has to have control. And because they don't have that control, now I'm the bad person. Oh, you're doing this to be vindictive. You're doing this, you're doing that. Like, co-parenting is so hard when you're dealing with somebody that has that control issue, that narcissistic issue. Like, this is for anybody that's listening. Anybody that is dealing with trying to co-parent, dealing with a narcissistic person, cross your eyes and dot your T's. And I'm just saying, because I'm telling you, I've witnessed him do it. We will see the same thing, sis. We will hear the same thing. He will say something, and I promise you, he'll come back and be like, nope, that ain't, something wrong with you.
But that does that have something to do with the fact, okay, so does that have, you know, we're all different people, right? So our experiences of life are different. And not to say that maybe this person's view of reality is not skewed, because that's not what I mean. But, you know, our experiences make us who we are, and that's what makes us view things the way that we do. So how much of that is attributed to his or her? Sorry, you know, I know we're talking about one person, but in the broader sense, like, how much of our experience attributes to the way that we view things, right?
Okay, this is true. And the funny thing about you saying that is, this is the crazy thing about you saying that. No, you're fine. When you say that, what the irony in you saying that alone is my confirmation in what I was thinking, because this is what I thought to myself. And that's one of the reasons why I felt like me and this individual connected, because I knew the abuse aspect of it. Remember, because I've been there. So I felt like we had a connection when it came to childhood experiences. Okay. So this person feels like my mother and my father left me with my grandmother. Now his interpretation of a grandmother, or how he feels about his grandmother, is way different from how I feel about my grandmother. I thank God every single day that's who I had in those early parts of my life. My grandmother was dope. If it wasn't for that short period that I was blessed to have her, I might not have been able to be where I'm at mentally. And I'm not perfect, but I know you understand what it is that I'm saying. Like, morally, none of that.
So are you saying that he didn't have that, and that's where his view
abuse
of
came from? Right. His abuse. And I really believe, and this is what I'm trying to say, I really believe that maybe a part of him really thinks that, because that was his experience. His experience was when my mom was no longer with my dad, she hated me and left me with my grandmother, who doesn't like me either.
He thinks let me make sure I understand. I want to make sure I understand.
Let me get to it.
Okay.
So in my mind, and I might be wrong. I may be wrong. But in my mind, maybe he really does feel that way. Maybe he does feel, in his warped way of thinking, that, you know, his child is in danger because he's not there. I, you know, maybe he does really think that. And it's sad. It's sad that your childhood was that bad. I feel sorry for
you. Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. It's falling.
You understand
place.
What I'm trying to say?
Okay.
Because my childhood was bad. I get it. My relationship with you was bad. I get it. My relationship with my ex-husband was bad. I get it. But I would never put that pressure on somebody else.
So if, okay, so I'm understanding.
Like,
I'm
under- so when I move on, which I'm working on, which we'll talk about later, but you know what I'm saying? I would never go into this new relationship thinking that I'm going to get what I got from him or anybody else. And I feel like he is basing the treatment of his child off of the treatment that he got. And that's not the case. I love our child. I wouldn't give a damn who his father was. That's mine. I carry him for 9 months.
Okay, so listeners,
period.
It took me a second to kind of, for it to kind of come together for me, just because sometimes I'm a slow thinker. I process things a little bit different. But what Janine is saying is, you know, this particular co-parent has had a bad experience growing up. And
growing up
with the experience of the relationship that is possibly, you know, possibly where he may feel that their youngest is, you know, her household is not the best in the best interest of their youngest. If I, yeah, sorry. Okay.
Right.
So that's what that is.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely does. Maybe in his warped mind of thinking, that's how he feels. You know, and the reason why I say maybe, and this is why I say maybe, because if you thought, and this is just me, I'm just throwing it out there. If you thought, and let me tell you something, and this is just me. If I thought for a minute that my child was being abused in any type of way, that's what I'm going to file in court. Do you understand what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm going to, that would be the main topic of this court case. But you
okay,
know what?
It's right.
not.
Right.
You want to know why it's not? You want to know why it's not? Because it's not facts. I would never, I don't care how much I dislike him. I don't care how much we've been through. I would never. I would never, ever do to my child what I've had done to me or what he says has been done to him. Like, I would never abuse my kids. Am I a perfect parent? Hell no. Hell no. But flat out hurt my kids? Hell no. It owes me. Just as a person. Damn, as a parent. Knows better than that shit.
Yeah, and I think it's important. Like you said, like, it's the intention. Like, if that was legitimately the case, is concerned for security, then, but it doesn't seem that way. And I think the fact that if we're on round number 3 or 4 by this point, and with each incident, you know, it's being deemed that there's this household is safe, at what point is it kind of like, no, sir, this is a you issue. This is not a me issue. And I'm surprised, frankly, that
I don't know.
I'm surprised that services not saying, "Hey, you're wasting our resources where there are children in real danger, and I mean real
that
danger,
really need,
and
right.
you're wasting their resources
right.
on this shit because there are children in real danger."
Right, right.
That makes me angry.
Right.
I'm
you're
sorry.
Right because this would
that's
No. And anybody that's rational would be angry about that because this is not 4. This would be 3. This would be 3rd because the first one, of course, cleared. No problem. Have my paperwork. The second one really wasn't it was another program, which I think is an awesome program. And once this is over with, I really am going to come back and talk about what it is they do, because they are not actual DSS. They don't come take your kids out of the house, but they come out and they give families resources.
So before we started like recording and stuff like that, we were talking a little bit about, you know, because we're dealing with basically a child in a grown-up body. So basically you're in to a degree, right? If you're dealing with someone like this, you're parenting your kids, but there's to a certain extent, you're kind of parenting your co-parent, right? So you're dealing with someone who's
unfortunately
who's a grown-up, but they're not acting like a grown-up.
Right.
Right. We talk
right, and then they're good. I'm so sorry. I didn't mean to cut you off. I'm so sorry. Go ahead. Sorry. Go ahead, sis. Okay. I'm so sorry.
I was just going to speak to the fact that, you know, when you're dealing with someone like that, who, and there's a degree of, and this is something that I know I guess heard when we were doing like one of our episodes where this person kept on texting while in the middle of a conversation, because you can hear the buzzing when we're recording. So, and we spoke to that in one of our previous episodes. So there's this level of terrorizing. So I'm not getting your attention, so I'm just going to bombard you with texts and phone calls. I'm going to blow up your voicemail.
Yep.
And using your child as the segue, gateway, excuse to do these things.
Right.
So before we started recording, right, you know, we talked, I was in my research, I had found that there were some apps that you can utilize when it comes to help eliminate that. Because if someone is, if I'm your co-parent and I call you and I'm just an asshole, I'm that asshole.
Right.
And I'm right, call you just to be an asshole, or just for whatever reason, for the person who's looking at it on the other side of it, if there has been an abusive pattern, that's going to make you fearful anytime that phone call rings, anytime you see that name pop up on your text messages.
Oh my gosh, yeah,
you become afraid, right? So
oh my God, like you hit the nail on the head with that. Oh my gosh, you so did, because that's how I feel. Every time it got to the point where I shared with you, when you was telling me about the app, right? Mm-hmm. When you was telling me about, I shared with you, I blocked the person.
Right.
And I'm like, yo, I'll unblock you when it's your weekend.
Right.
But right now, I just
can't. Deal with the shit. But I think that...
Because I don't feel like this shit.
First of all, I was surprised that for various reasons, the biggest thing is, you know, why as grown-ups do we need a fucking app to help us communicate about our kids?
App.
So fine. But clearly if it's there, there's a reason, which means that there's a need, which dumbfounds me. But for your sake,
right,
or for anyone out there who's listening, you know, sometimes these apps, you know, if you're going through courts and what have you, they may require or demand that you use this apps. But for someone like Janine, who's, you know, they're not at that point yet, you know, I just said, hey, did you know that there were apps that you can use where you can effectively block somebody from email, from
right,
even emailing you, texting you, calling you voicemails, or leaving you voicemails that can become abusive. There are ways that you can eliminate it with these apps that I just learned. So I would suggest, you know, even if you have to pay a monthly fee of $6 a month, what is that going to bring you when it comes to your peace of mind and knowing that you don't
right,
have to be afraid every time your phone rings? So I found three, and Janine,
you're going out.
Okay.
You went out just a little bit. You sound like a computer a little bit, but go ahead.
Oh, okay. Sorry. But I just, you know, I think this could be
okay
for anyone who's out there maybe experiencing something similar, whether if you're at the court stage or if you're not been assigned anybody or they're telling you that you have to use it, please consider it. Like, you don't have to be afraid to see someone's name appear on your phone or text, because there are apps that you can
wow,
use. And the three that I found, there were a bunch of different apps, but there was three in particular that I saw. One is App Close. Two is Talking Parents. Three is called Two Houses Co-Parenting. There's different apps out there, but if you have had an experience of a abusive or experience with somebody else, consider this.
A narcissistic.
Yeah.
Narcissistic.
Children, adult children.
Right.
Use it. That way you can effectively block somebody on your phone and you can set some boundaries of this is the only way we're going to communicate regarding our children. There's nothing personal in here. This is just to manage, you know, this child's schedule on our lives together and how we're going to parent together. Then you don't have to worry about living in fear, because when you're dealing with somebody like that, they want you to feel that way. They want you to be fearful. So yeah. You don't have to be that. You don't have to live that way. And the other piece of that is, if you're using an app like this, it is a level of CYA, covering your ass, and then also holding people accountable for doing the things that they say they're going to do or they're not doing, because it's all there. So just my two cents. Janine, what are your thoughts on these apps?
I didn't know that they had co-parenting apps. And I agree with exactly what you said about the whole, what is, you know, like, what is your peace of mind? You know what I mean? So if it's a monthly fee, I'm with it. Like, I'm literally listening to you thinking about this app, like, yo, before we even go to court, because I really want to show that I'm trying here, because, you know, I co-parented wrong when I allowed the other party to have their way all the time. And now it's gotten so out of hand.
I think that there is a way where you can, you know, maybe if it is an app, you know, maybe that's just step one, where you can set ground rules for, you know, communicating with a co-parent that is who's not so willing to, well, let me rephrase this. Hang on a second. There are ways that you can set ground rules, and that way you can make it work for you. That way the needs of your child is being met without you being in fear, but then you can also communicate with your co-parent effectively, not, oh, I wish things could have worked out between us. There's no time. That's a neither here or there when it comes to making arrangements for your kids,
right,
or saying, well, what time, right, are you going to pick them up? That has nothing to do with it. You know, it's, when are you going to pick,
right,
them up? Okay.
Right.
There's none of that extra shit.
Right.
But maybe,
right,
if you are struggling with an experience like that, maybe do a little research, look at some of these apps, and like Janine said, what is your peace of mind worth if you are,
right,
co-parenting with someone who is maybe a narcissist or maybe is immature, or you're having, and even if that's not the case, maybe this could be the segue in having a better co-parenting relationship, where maybe at some point you won't need an app, but maybe it's just a start.
Right. And I think the app is like a dope idea. Like I'm like I said before, I got way off topic. I think it's a great idea. Like I would totally do the app. And the app, for me, that's a priceless move. Like, and it might even be, and I'll take a look at the app, and maybe that's something that I'll talk about with you, like, off the end, because you know, an app that could, you know, make that easier, you know what I'm saying, because it's so common that people, unfortunately, or, you know, the dynamics are just that way. It's too, you know, it's your you know, dad or mom is over here or dad or mom is over there. You know what I'm trying to say? It's like, it's so common now. And whoever came up with this whole co-parenting app thing, I can't wait to actually see what it do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to tell no one. Like, let's see what this thing can do. Because, and then, and still even with the app, doesn't the other party have to agree to use the app?
Yeah, because that's the hard part. Well, you can, you would have to get him to agree. But if you say to somebody, look, this is the only way that I will communicate with you regarding our child's needs. There's no, if you want to know what's going on, if you want to know when I'm going to drop him off and when you can pick him up, this is the only format of communication that we're going to have. And even if you have to go to court and say, this is, I want us to be able to communicate, if you have to get a written court order, if that's the only way you'll get them to comply, then okay, so be it. But
you know what? That's a dope idea. Maybe I could definitely tell my attorney, hey, yo, can we please implement this?
Uh-huh. So that way he's forced to. Like, if you can't get him to agree to it as together, then okay, fine. Okay.
Okay, so if you don't mind, and this is just so that inquiring, because the inquiring minds want to know, and I want to know, because I'm really interested in the app. What makes the app such a good tool? Like, is it just a messaging back and forth type app? Like,
hey,
what is it that the app does?
How about this?
That makes it.
Let's do it together. How about this? Here's what we're going to do. I've got an idea. You and I, so maybe we'll make this part two of the next episode.
Okay.
So I'll download the app. We'll just agree on whichever one. We'd like to, whichever one you want to download, you let me know. I'll download it to you. And then we'll test it out for the next week. So we'll get together again next weekend and we'll say, hey, in part two, we've actually used this. We've used the app. And this is, you can tell me the benefits that I brought. Or I can say, hey, this is what I see. Because then that's, I love that. What do you think?
I think that'd be dope because I'm in my mind. I'm like, okay, so what makes this co-parenting app? Because I'm with it. Like, if it can help me, and you know, not just this situation. I mean, I hate to be selfish about it, but like, if it can help me in this here situation where I hear, I'm with it. Like, tell me how much that is.
Okay, all right.
Because
so, folks,
I'm with it.
Folks, we kind of went off topic, so we're going to reboot a little bit, and we're going to restart with the fact that, you know, Janine and I were talking about this app and what is the benefit and how does it work. So what we're going to do for our next episode, we're going to take the next week or so, and we're going to download a few of these apps, and we're going to test it out between her and I to see, hey, how did it work for us? What was your biggest benefit? Which one did you like the best from the three that we talked about? Because then we'll have real time. Hey, and you know what? Maybe we can post some of the pictures of it or video of on social media, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah, right? So what?
Okay.
Right? I'm like, this is exciting. We're going to do a review. I'm such a nerd.
Yeah, because I didn't think about it until right when we were talking about the app, it dawned on me. I was like, okay, so what about the app?
Uh-huh.
So I'm ready.
We're ready.
Like, okay, so out and let's see what they do. Because look, tell me how to simplify this thing.
So and then so yes, we okay. So listeners, I know we kind of, you know, sometimes we can go down a rabbit hole.
Right.
So as a way of kind of having an understanding of how this can be effective, we're going to test it out and we're going to kind of give an honest review of what our experiences were of at least two of these apps, and then share information as to what our thoughts were. But, you know, before we wrap, I want to say something that I found very, very surprising. And this is a statistic that I read on an article called Co-Parenting with a Narcissist by AJK. And the website was A Good Men Project. So have a seat, y'all, because I was very surprised. And I was like, are you kidding me? So 70% of mental health professionals cannot identify a narcissist without speaking to a narcissist family. So if I go to a therapist or whatever, and they can only treat me based off my experience or whatever I'm telling them. But the only way that mental health professionals can really tell if they're dealing with a narcissist is by dealing with other or speaking to other family members. Now, does that not scare the pants off of you?
That's scary. Mm-hmm. Hey, babe, sis, you're breaking up. Phone is breaking up. You sound like a robot.
Oh, okay. Does it still sound like that?
Please repeat that. You said what?
Oh.
You sound like a robot. So what did you say?
What part?
You said that 70% of...
Okay. So...
Go ahead.
I'll start over. So what did... Before we wrap, did you hear about the... wherever I got the information from?
That part came up. And then you were saying that you said something about the psychologist cannot tell narcissist other than by talking to the family. Okay. And I was about to tell you, that's scary.
Okay. Yeah. So, and I'll just run through it one more time and then we'll probably pick up from here. So in this article, it says 70% of mental health professionals cannot identify a narcissist without speaking to the narcissist's family and friends and their experience of that person, which is very scary.
That's scary. Sis, that's why I was about to tell you. When you said that, that's the first thought that came to me, and that's why I spit it out. And that's when that voice started, you know, that whole computer thing started going on. But I thought that instantly. I was like, yo, sis, that is scary.
So a narcissist don't know they're a narcissist.
So
it did it again, didn't it? I heard it.
It did, yeah, a little bit, but it wasn't bad. You came, what you said came through really clear. But I'm like, what the mess? And so that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, is that because they don't know, or is that because they're just that good? Because I feel like my situation, this person is just that good. So
I don't think,
you know, like,
I don't think that's, I think that they're completely oblivious, because I don't think that there's no self-awareness. There's no self-awareness. I mean, one of the things you and I have always had in common is that when we look at a situation, we're very much like, okay, so this is what happened. What could I have done differently? And we really will sit down and gauge, maybe to a point where it's too much, where you're taking ownership of things that are not your fault. But we really do believe in self-ownership. And any adult, any self-respecting adult should have that approach.
Right.
Like, what could I have done better? I don't think that there's a level of self-ownership. And again, that's just my experience, and I think that's your experience. But I don't think that's what's happening here with this person. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. We really, as always, we appreciate you guys listening. So thank you for taking time from your day to hear from us with this episode. Said we're going to go ahead and do some reviews. We're going to check out some of these apps that we talked about before kind of wrapping up this segment, so we can kind of bring you some, you know, what our thoughts are in communicating through this app versus for co-parenting versus, texting, calling, and emailing. So we'll bring you that review for the next episode, and then we'll kind of wrap this segment or the co-parenting segment in the next episode. As always, we are available, you know, to take any calls. You know, we have our phone number posted on our website, which is oustnow.com. Feel free to leave us a message through the link that is there on the website. And of course, as always, social media, leave us a message there. Let us know what your thoughts are. And thank you again for listening.
Now podcast with Janine and Tanya. For a full episode guide, go to their website at oustnow.com. You can also follow them at facebook.com/oustnow.